Hello everybody, Malzone, and this is One's Gotta Talk for Wednesday, 7th of June, 2023. This week's episode, it's all about DubDub, or Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference, and everything that's been announced at their keynote event, and generally during their Developers Conference, including the latest versions of iOS, iPadOS, Mac OS pretty much, Mac OS Sonoma, by the way, WatchOS, tvOS, and the software that goes behind AirPods and HomePod and stuff like that, and a cool new device category, first time in a very long time that they've launched a new set of devices, the Apple Vision Pro. We're going to talk about that later on, but yeah, as I said, without further ado, let's jump into this, shall we? Firstly, let's talk about software, and specifically iOS 17, the upcoming version of iOS that will be coming to iPhones generally. And it's coming a bunch of upgrades and new features that we've kind of already seen elsewhere, but they're going to definitely be coming to the iPhone, to an iPhone near you eventually. Firstly is contact posters, which apparently are a completely revamped design for contacts, let's just say that, and allows users generally who make them to express themselves in a way, and again add a three-dimensional image of themselves along with eye-catching typography and font colors, and again even use them emoji if they want to, which is pretty interesting, and also be available on third-party apps which utilize contacts or show contacts when they're calling you on your prospective iPhone or their iPhone pretty much. And that's interesting in a way. And then another one on top of that is live voicemail, which again allows users to kind of see essentially a transcript of the other person's voicemail if they've left one, and you're able to see what they've been saying or voicemail, and you could decide for yourself if you want to pick up the phone or kind of not talk to them. So that's pretty interesting. And apparently the transcription for this feature is all done on device using a neural engine on the iPhones, which is pretty cool in a way. So that's a pretty useful feature if you think about it. But more than everything, speaking of having wonderful looking contact cards, let's say on your iPhone, they really pop on your iPhone. There's also a cool feature that should help with that, name drop. Now, if you ever used your iPhone, you know how difficult it can kind of be. It can be a little finicky to share your contact with someone and vice versa, and you either would have to share your contact over iMessage or WhatsApp, or share it over AirDrop or Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, or email them your contact, and then the other person has to do the same. And it's a little finicky, and you have to press all kinds of settings and buttons. And now Apple has made it a little bit straightforward and showed off this feature called Name Drop, where if you want to share the other person your contact and vice versa, you and the other person would just have to hover your iPhone sort of over one on top of the other, and you'll get your contact card hovering, and you can just send it over to the other person and vice versa with the press of a button, which is pretty interesting. It uses AirDrop technology to a degree, but it's pretty interesting in a way. And the same sort of hovering, you sort of hover each other's iPhones over, you can able to share AirDrop content and start share PlayStations, which is very straightforward, honestly, and it should have been from day one, but of course the NFC functionality on the iPhone has kind of opened up in the past couple of years, and this is one of the many useful use cases for that. And it's again quite intelligent and smart of Apple to now offer this. Very intuitive, let's just say that. So that's pretty cool in a way. And another big sort of feature and upgrade you're going to be getting on iOS 17 is standby, which is a mode if you plug your iPhone into charging or using charging your iPhone using MagSafe, it will switch over to your iPhone will essentially give you a full screen experience where you can apparently get glanceable information like your time, wallpapers, a slideshow of your photos, access to live activities, and much, much more. And you can sort of view something from your iPhone at a glance, which is pretty interesting. So you can see the time or a particularly set widget that you have on your iPhone. And this works in when you have your iPhone plugged in MagSafe using a MagSafe charger. You just have to tap it and you can see, you can glance information right away, which is pretty clever. This was one of those like rumors that was reported earlier, and I talked about it on last week's episode. You can go back and listen to it if you want. It was just going to be coming on the upcoming version of iOS, and we have that now, so that's pretty cool in a way. So, very clever feature if you think about it. Another big upgrade we've gotten on iOS 17 is a brand new app for iPhone users. It's called Journal. Now, mental health is very important to people, and mental well-being is a big deal for a lot of people, and for Apple especially, and they're working on the well-being and health side of things. And now we're getting a full-blown app where you can essentially journal your day-to-day life, what you've done in a day, where you've gone, what you've done, what kind of what workouts you've done, what you've listened to, who you've met. And you can journal it all in a dedicated app where you can again write down, sort of note down, and again reflect on your day and sort of practice gratitude according to Apple, which is pretty interesting. And again, you also get intelligent suggestions, again using the onboard machine learning, based on all the things you've done, the places you've gone, the things you listen to and all. And you can sort of add it to your journal, and that's pretty clever. And you get scheduled notifications to, again, to have a habit, to kind of get into the habit of noting down and journaling your day. And you kind of look back at it and be grateful for it, because you kind of forget where life goes, you know. So that's pretty interesting. And you can sort of lock down the app so no one else can go in and modify your notes. So that's pretty cool in a way. And again, it's built for privacy first, like most things from Apple. So no one else can see what you've written or noted in the Journal app. So that's pretty interesting. But other than that, it's a very useful new app that Apple is bringing to iOS 17 as a built-in app and not something standalone. So definitely will help with people's well-being and make them appreciate their life more and more. So that's kind of important. And you know, sometimes you're very depressed and stressed out and anxious, you forget about the blessings you really have. And this is one of those software features that'll definitely go a very long way. So that's pretty cool in a way. And now kind of the minor things that kind of Apple has also shown off: improved Messages app with ability to put Slap-on Live stickers and add them, and you can access all your stickers in one place in like a dedicated menu tray. And that's pretty cool. On top of that, as I said, an improved, like I've said earlier, an expandable menu, so you can see all your apps and features that you can use to send more stuff to your friends on iMessage. So that's pretty cool. I've not described it very well, but you can see in the videos there's like a little menu you get when you press sort of a options tab, and it shows all the things you can do inside location and images or even stickers. So that's pretty cool. But one more thing is check-in that's on Messages. So if you ever used iMessage to notify your friends and family where you're at, or if you arrived home or you're gone somewhere, and now you can now click the little check-in button, obviously tell where you're at, and send it to your friends and family and know that you've reached somewhere or you've arrived home and all that. And all information, of course, is end-to-end encrypted. So a very small feature will definitely go a long way for some people. That's pretty interesting. It reminds me of when people send their location on WhatsApp. It's the kind of the same story, but here, of course, it is end-to-end encrypted, so Apple doesn't even know what you're doing. And yeah, it's a very interesting feature. And speaking of iMessage, there's also improved autocorrect and dictation, and that's thanks to the built-in machine learning models that are on the neural engine on the iPhone, on top of improved dictation that again uses a new model to make it more accurate according to Apple. So that's interesting in a way. What I'm kind of noticing, and you'll notice with all announcements of their new software, is how they're not talking about AI, but they're rather saying a model or machine learning model or transformer model. They're using sort of the more technical terms, but just to make it a more useful software upgrade and not like some buzzword addition like most competing software companies, where they're saying AI this, AI that, thanks to AI this is possible because of AI, new AI this, new AI that. And I think that's a good thing that Apple has done here, that something should be applauded, honestly, because we're all going to get bored of the buzzwords, to be fair. That's pretty interesting in a way. On top of all of that, there's other new bits and bobs, added greater protection for private browsing, so you know, trackers cannot see what you're doing or cannot track you pretty much in private browsing mode. Logs down when you're not using it, which is interesting. On top of that, secure password and passkey sharing, in a way. Improved health app, so that means you can log your daily moods and again see what might be contributing to your state of mind. That's according to Apple themselves. And also be able to assess whether you're depressed or you're suffering from depression or anxiety, which again is a small thing, but will go definitely go a long way for a lot of people. And also, if you have kids, if you switch on screen time, you can now have screen distance, which uses a true depth camera to see how far the person who has the device in that mode, how close they are to the device. And so it sort of switch on a warning that you're too close to the device, move it a little back, and when you step it back, it obviously resumes to normal. So that's pretty cool in a way. Other interesting tidbits include now offline map support in the Maps app on the iPhone, ability to share your AirTag up to 5 other people within the Find My app. If you have Apple Music, you can now create collaborative playlists with your friends and share play support in the car, which is there in iOS 17, along with AirPlay in hotel support, which we're going to talk about a little bit later on. And yeah, about Siri, now you can just simply command Siri, or you can bring up this voice assistant with just a prompt, Siri, instead of Hey Siri. So that's pretty interesting. If you're listening to this in the near future, if your iPhone or iPad does pop up with the assistant, I sincerely apologize. That might be because it picks this up instead of your voice. So that's pretty interesting in a way. But that's iOS 17 pretty much. Now let's talk about iPad OS 17, which is the latest version for the iPad devices. And already it is already a perfect OS in many, many ways. It's much closer to macOS in many respects, almost sharing the same hardware in a sense, but we're getting some refinements on iPadOS 17. So firstly, on iOS 16, how you got an improved lock screen, and now you can add widgets to that and stuff like that. Now it's possible on iPadOS 17, which kind of makes sense. I'm sure most of you kind of remembered a time where iOS, you really used to be iPhone and iPad in one software release, and now it's separate. So that's pretty interesting that we have a separate version for the iPad. But iPadOS 17 comes with an improved lock screen functionality, so you can add a sort of multi-layered effect to photos, if you have photos pretty much, striking fonts, and you can even add widgets and live activities to the iPad, which is pretty cool. And you can make it yours truly, so that's interesting in a way. If you used iOS 16, you'll know what I'm talking about. On top of that, speaking of which, you get improved widgets in iPadOS 17, mind you. So you can do a lot more with the widgets compared to before, whereas the widgets kind of had like this kind of one, it was a one-way street in previous versions of iPadOS. Now in iPadOS 17, you can do a lot more, just like on iOS 16 on the iPhone. That's pretty cool. And also, if you use your iPad for work purposes or to go through documents, good news, this next one will be interesting. Now you can add in autofill forms, PDF forms or documents, and fill in details in those PDF forms. Again, thanks to machine learning, where it identifies fields in a PDF and allows you to quickly add an autofill, contact information and forms. So that's pretty cool in a way. And you can even now annotate and read and collaborate on PDFs with iPadOS 17, and you can even scribble over actual PDFs. And also, if you're collaborating with someone in real time, those changes will kind of be reflected on their version too. So that's pretty cool. And on top of that, you get the improved messages experience you get in iOS 17. So that's something to keep in mind. And also, FaceTime, you also get the new reactions and features like that, along with some features also coming on iOS 17, including improved private browsing. And also for iPad's Safari app, you get new features like profiles, and each profile will give you access to your own history, cookies, tab groups, and so much more. And also, finally, for the very first time, the iPads will be coming with a health app. Now, this doesn't mean that, you know, iPads will work with Apple Watches, but the health app means you can see your own data in a rich and in-depth manner, and you can get access to more metrics, and you can see a lot more on a larger screen. And that's so that's pretty interesting. Improved Stage Manager, Freeform, and Spotlight Search, pretty much. So, and like on iOS 17, on iPadOS 17, you'll be able to just say Siri to bring up the assistant. So that's pretty cool. Now let's talk about macOS, or specifically the latest version of macOS, macOS Sonoma. It's pretty interesting you get a lot more functionality, as I've said earlier. Firstly, you get interactive widgets, so now you can do a lot more and you get a lot more information on a glance, like on iOS 16 already, and the upcoming version of iPadOS and iOS, so you can do a lot more with the widgets. And that's coming over to the Mac for the first time. On top of that, you get stunning new screensavers. Now, if you've used the Apple TV, you know how great the screensavers are, but now you get them also on macOS, and you'll be able to essentially get a bunch of screensavers, including the skyline of Hong Kong, the sandstone boots of Monument Valley in Arizona, and the rolling hills of Sonoma in Northern California. That'll be available on macOS Sonoma. So that's pretty interesting. And the login experience will now be positioned at the bottom of the screen instead of the middle, as it usually is, to make room for those screensavers, which look incredible. And another big thing that Apple's brought to the table is hopefully improved gaming on the Mac with macOS Sonoma. Firstly is Metal 3.0, which should again improve graphics on the Mac. But more than everything, offer new game porting toolkit, which means that it'd be very easy to move a game that was coded for, say, Windows or for a games console over to Mac in just a few days, according to Apple themselves, and take full advantage of Apple Silicon and the M series chips, which is critical. But more than everything, it also introduces game mode, which means that you get an optimized experience for gaming, you get more consistent frame rates and smoother performance, the games get higher capacity or performance parity with the CPU and GPU, the M-series chips on the Mac. So that's pretty interesting. It gives you more immersive audio and reduced input latency, which apparently is important for gamers in a way. On top of everything, there's also a new screen sharing app that means you can share. You get incredibly responsive remote access to hybrid in-studio and remote pro workflows. And again, you should be able to share what you're working on with your fellow colleagues. So that's pretty cool in a way. And again, like on iOS and iPadOS 17, you're getting lots of updates and improved functionality, like improved messages, keyboard, autocorrect, the password setting, the Siri functionality, and the PDF functionality also. So that's pretty cool. But the interesting part is things like improved video conferencing settings and functionality. Firstly is presenter overlay, which is now an effect that will be running on FaceTime and on top of popular video conferencing apps like WebEx and Zoom and Microsoft Teams. And that means that you as the person can sort of be overlaid on top of whatever is running. Like if you have a presentation running, you can be overlaid, your face can just be overlaid on top of the presentation, and it can add effects like balloons, confetti, hearts, and much, much more. And it can all be triggered with a hand gesture. So that's pretty interesting. And also you have a screen sharing picker. That will be in the settings tab, so when you do decide to share a face or your screen in video calls, it'll be very straightforward, and it's just a few clicks, and you can pick the tabs you want to run while you're sharing your screen during video calls. So that should make life a little bit easy for macOS users. And I've kind of covered the gist of what's to come on macOS Sonoma. It's more of a refinement, and of course it's just only going to get better because now we have Apple Silicon at the forefront, and that should bring more interesting functionality, and already is more in line with what you get on iOS and Mac and iPadOS, what you would get on iOS and iPadOS. So that's pretty cool. So one thing I would want to say after we've kind of looked at the new versions of iPadOS, iOS, and macOS is it will be a little underwhelming. There's some bits and bobs and some refinements, but better than nothing, really. Some interesting, just small touches we've gotten. And I think that's critical in a way. The small touches really add a lot to the table sometimes. So pretty cool if you ask me. Now let's talk about the minor software updates that you'll be getting later this fall, like the bigger ones. First is tvOS 17. You're getting a whole bunch of new things on that too. First is Apple Music Sing, which allows you to do karaoke essentially using Apple Music. And when you integrate Continuity Camera, which is your iPhone camera right on top of your TV or below it, you can see yourself singing to your favorite song. So that's pretty funny and pretty cool in a way. But at the same time, it'll be a fun party trick if you have an Apple TV and an iPhone. And speaking of using an iPhone camera, this next bit is game changing if you love to use your Apple TV for more than just streaming or binge watching. You can now do video calls on the Apple TV, and that's because popular video conferencing apps will be available on tvOS like WebEx and Zoom. But what if you want to just show yourself on a camera? Now, the Apple TV does not support webcams wirelessly or natively through the USB port on the Apple TV. So how do you get around that problem? Good news, you can use the iPhone camera because continuity camera support is coming on to the Apple TV, which means you can use your iPad or iPhone camera right on to the Apple TV, and that means you can take on video calls from Zoom and WebEx and also access a whole load of apps. And you can even if you want to do like game night, so that will also make it easy if there's an app that takes advantage by basically using an iPhone camera and connecting it to the Apple TV and with all that integration. So you can do that too. So I can really imagine a whole bunch of apps that are now possible on the Apple TV because of the support for continuity camera. And again, now you can do FaceTime calls also, speaking of which, I forgot to mention that. So FaceTime calls will be working on the Apple TV, and again, uses the continuity camera. And also, you can move your iPhone, if you started the FaceTime video call on your iPhone or iPad, you can move it over to the Apple TV right at a press of a button. So that's pretty cool in a way. Pretty cool. And you get improved control center, so you get essentially quick access to your settings and toggles. So that's pretty cool. And you can find your Siri remote in case you lose it with your iPhone and the Find My app. So that's pretty interesting, along with improved screensavers and also apparently Dolby Vision 8.1 support. There's already Atmos support, but now you can again support 8-channel surround sound through your Apple TV 4K. And apparently third-party VPN support. So if you directly wanted to watch the US Netflix library and you didn't want it to, you know, set up your VPN router and do that through the Apple TV, you can now get you can get VPN apps. Apparently for Apple, it helps corporate users because they can, you know, you can dial into the office from home. So that's pretty cool. But how I see it is, now you can use third-party VPNs like, you know, Surfshark and much, much more on the Apple TV. So this is bringing more features that have kind of already been on iOS and iPadOS over to the big screen. So that's pretty cool. It's really one of the minor software updates. And already now, let's talk about software coming to the AirPods later this year, also on top of tvOS. The first is adaptive audio, which apparently blends transparency in ANC modes, depending on the environment, using machine learning, sort of. So automatically switching between both settings given what's going on. If there's a lot of noise around you, it switches to ANC mode. If someone's talking in front of you, it switches to transparency mode. So that's pretty cool in a way. And this should be working on the AirPods Pro. On top of that, a personalized volume, which uses machine learning to understand how you listen over time and fine-tune the volume levels automatically without you intervening or pressing a button. So that's pretty cool in a way. And also there's conversational awareness only for those who have the AirPods Pro, the latest one, where it sort of lowers the volume and enhances the voice in front of the user, apparently, while reducing background noise. So sort of picking up someone who's talking in front of you. So not really a major feature, but definitely will help a lot of people in a way. And also a mute and unmute feature, which means you press the stem, you can quickly mute or unmute on calls. So it makes it quite effortless in a way. So as I said, pretty cool features coming to AirPods pretty much. And finally, watchOS 10, which is bringing a whole bunch of new things and also an improved interface and design. Firstly is Smart Stack, which apparently brings a whole bunch of widgets from all your kind of apps that are supported, and all the sort of stock apps, including fitness and much, much more, and gives you glanceable information all within a swipe, and you can sort of see what's going on and see your fitness levels and your rings and stuff like that. And also it's and pretty much your Smart Stack again displays widgets that contain timely information depending on the context and when you press the digital crown. So that's pretty cool in a way. Say if you're playing a podcast or you're on a workout or you got a new meeting going on, it sort of shows all the way at the top pretty much. So that's pretty cool in a way. And it's a whole new design language, pretty much. And speaking of which, now you have an improved, revamped design for the Apple Watch to make it sort of fresh and relevant. And that means you have colorful backgrounds, able to see more information at a glance. And yeah, as an example, pretty much the NBA app, for example, if you're using it to see scores for games, now the colors of the teams will show as the background. It'll be filling the background of your Apple Watch. So that's pretty fun in a way. That's one example, pretty much. And also now you have new watch faces, two of them actually. First, new watch faces palette, which has a unique design unlike any other, and have three overlapping layers apparently, and the colors sort of shift, showing the day, hour, and the hour, second, and minute hands, that is. So pretty neat in a way. And the second watch face that will be available in watchOS 10 is, if you're a fan of Snoopy and the iconic cartoon, good news, there'll be a dedicated watch face for the very first time on the Apple Watch. And it's kind of neat, it's kind of fun and cute. So the characters kind of interact right around the 6 o'clock mark. They'll be right there and sort of interacting, reacting to the weather, or you're getting active. It's kind of cute, honestly. And if you love Snoopy and the Peanuts comic strip, you're gonna definitely love this watch face, and you might want to check it out once you get watchOS 10 onto your Apple Watch. And apparently Snoopy watches are quite popular and are very valuable amongst the watch community, turns out. So pretty cool to have an Apple Watch, and given the fact that Apple and Snoopy kind of go a long way, a lot of the recent Snoopy specials have come on Apple TV Plus, so kind of ties hand in hand with what Apple's doing with the iconic cartoon character. But speaking of which, moving on, fitness. So watchOS 10 comes with a whole bunch of new modes and improved modes, pretty much, for fitness. First is an improved cycling mode, and that means when you start a cycling workout, it will automatically show as a live activity on your iPhone, and you can see a lot of information, especially your bike speed, how much your average speed, your distance, your heart rate, the maximum speed you've gotten, and the length of your workout. So that's pretty cool, and on your iPhone and on your Apple Watch. So that's pretty cool. And finally, just generally on top of that, you can now connect to Bluetooth-enabled cycling accessories, including power meters, sensors, cadence sensors, and much, much more. And you get access to a whole bunch of metrics for your workouts, so that definitely helps in a way. And the Bluetooth functionality should work on both indoor and outdoor cycling workouts, so that's pretty cool. And you have a new algorithm for cycling workouts, and that means that when you have connected power meters, you can estimate functional threshold power, the highest level of cycling intensity that a rider could theoretically maintain for an hour. And using that, you can get personalized power zones, so you can see what zone you're in. In the pictures and in the demonstration video during the keynote, they showed obviously zone 4 is the perfect one, that's where you'd be. But of course, it'll slide around and show what level you're at. So that's pretty cool, and again, a very effective way to gauge your performance when biking. Another one is improved hiking, in a way, and you get a new compass. In the compass app on watchOS 10, you have two new waypoints you'll get. First is a waypoint for where your cellular reception will really be available. After that point, you'll be disconnected pretty much. Another one is last emergency call waypoint right on the compass, so you can see where you'll be able to make an emergency call, and past that point you won't be able to make emergency calls, or the previous one you won't be able to access cellular data or cellular connectivity. So pretty neat feature, kind of aesthetic, but goes a long way for a lot of users. And now there's an elevation view in the compass app that, using altimeter data, will give you a three-dimensional view of saved waypoints, and you can see where things are at, in a way. And if you're in the US, now you have access to a new improved topographic map that gives you contour lines, hill shading, elevation details, and points of interest, all right on your watch. So that's pretty interesting in a way. And speaking of your fitness, also there is now improved mental health on the Apple Watch with the mindfulness app on watchOS 10. And that means you can discreetly and conveniently log your emotions and daily moods right on your watch. So that's pretty cool. And obviously that will go over to the Apple Watch, to the Apple Health app, and you can see more information. And you can even sort of diagnose how you're feeling and all that. So that's pretty cool. And from there, you can, of course, take assessments to see whether you're diagnosed for depression or anxiety. So that's pretty cool. And again, definitely would go a long way, like the journaling app on iOS 17. The ability to log your moods on watchOS 10 will definitely go. It's a small thing, but it'll go a long way, as always. But yeah, on top of that, watchOS 10 comes with a new feature where you can detect the amount of time you spent in daylight with the ambient light sensor, and that should apparently reduce the chance of myopia, which causes vision impairment. So that's kind of a big deal, health-wise. And again, this should help with parents who are concerned with their kids spending way too much time indoors and on their screens. They can kind of go out into the wilderness and touch grass. So that's kind of important. So that's pretty cool in a way. And just like that, there's also a screen distance feature, which again goes hand in hand with this functionality of detecting or really measuring time in daylight, which again goes hand in hand with the fact that, you know, Apple is seriously working on health and wellness features with the Apple Watch. So that's pretty cool in a way. And now watchOS 10 will come with mobile device management support. So if you're a company that deploys Apple Watches, you might want to look into this with the upcoming version of watchOS. So that's pretty cool in a way. This is just one of many things that's coming on watchOS 10. And just generally, that's pretty much all the new improvements to Apple's software that we've kind of covered as much as we can. There might be a lot of things we might have missed, but we're gonna, pretty cool stuff from the folks in Cupertino, that is. Right, moving on to the hardware side of things, and we got lots of new devices that also came out during the WWDC keynote. First up, on one of many pretty much, was a brand new MacBook Air, the 15-inch MacBook Air, featuring the M2 processor, which is a definite welcome upgrade if you ask me. Pretty much you have a 15.3-inch Liquid Retina display with up to 500 nits of brightness and support for over a billion colors, and you get apparently 25% brighter sort of contrast compared to a comparable PC laptop, which is interesting in a way. And being the MacBook Air is the thinnest 15-inch laptop at just 11.5 millimeters thin compared to the competition, and apparently it's 40% thinner than a comparable PC laptop. You get MagSafe charging, two Thunderbolt ports, support for up to 6K external display, and a headphone jack, and comes in midnight, starlight, space, gray, and silver colors. So that's pretty cool in a way. But more than everything, you get the M2 chip, and that means it's 12 times faster than the fastest Intel-based MacBook Air. So that's pretty cool. And on top of that, you have a full HD, FaceTime HD camera and 6-speaker system, and support for spatial audio with Atmos. So that's pretty cool, and it comes with the current version of macOS, but you'll be able to get Sonoma later in the fall when that comes. It'll be supported straight away. And yeah, the MacBook Air is going to be available from June 13th, so that'll be next week pretty much, and should start and will start from $1,299 USD in the US for the base spec. And and that means the 13-inch MacBook Air with M2 is pretty much $200 cheaper at over $1,099 roughly. So that's pretty interesting, and again, we'll be available next week. So if you've been looking to get a MacBook Air, a large one specifically, you might want to be looking at the 15-inch MacBook Air, especially with the M2 chip. So no reason to not get the MacBook Air. And while we're already talking about the M2 chips, let's talk about the fact that Apple showed off a new processor, the last in the M2 family before you get the M3 later in the year, hopefully by next year, the M2 Ultra, which basically is two M2 Max chips combined together to give you 134 billion transistors, up to 192 gigabytes of memory capacity, and 800 gigabytes per second of memory bandwidth. And that's just some of the specs that you get on the M2 Ultra. It's 20% faster than the M1 Ultra, 30% faster GPU, is slightly larger, of course. A neural engine that's 40% faster for all those juicy AI tasks. If you want to maybe making those ChatGPT knockoffs, this is definitely the best chip to do that. It can kind of push out a V1 in no time. But yeah, it's an ultra fast chip, just like the M1 Ultra. It absolutely takes performance to the absolute bleeding edge, the very best of M2 if you think about it. And as I've said, it basically is M2 Max times 2, so you get double the power and speed in a way. And this exact M2 Ultra chip will be coming on a new version of the Mac Studio, and finally a Apple Silicon Mac Pro, which is interesting to talk about pretty much. So we have a new Mac Studio, and that will be coming with the M2 Ultra chip and the M2 Max out of the gate, and that means it'll be 50% faster than the previous gen Mac Studio that came out last year, 4 times faster than the most powerful Intel-based iMac. So it'll be the ultimate performance powerhouse desktop computer for those users who are looking for that power, but compact, in a compact package. And the M2 Max pretty much is a 12-core CPU with an up to 38-core GPU, 96 gigabytes of unified memory. They can go up to 96 gigs. So that's pretty interesting in a way, with over 400 gigabytes per second of memory bandwidth. So that's pretty cool. And all that means to say is that it'll be 26 times faster than the most powerful Intel iMac in a way. That's actually the Ultra. The Max will be 4 times faster than the Intel-based iMac. And there's also a Ultra variant of the Mac Studio now with the M2 Ultra chip, 3 times faster than the previous Mac Studio with the M1 Ultra. And you get a 624-core CPU up to 676-core GPU. I'm kind of running out of words to say here. It's incredibly fast as a desktop computer that's compact, beefier than the Mac Mini in a way. But what it really means compared to the previous Mac Studio is that if you use DaVinci Resolve, you'll be able to get 50% faster video processing than before. So that definitely helps in a way. And you got a wide range of ports and connectivity. This new Mac Studio will come with higher bandwidth HDMI. I'm probably assuming HDMI 2.1, hopefully. And that means you get 8K resolution and up to 240Hz refresh rate, or frame rates pretty much, up to 240Hz, mind you. And with the Ultra variant, you get the support for up to 6 Pro Display XDR monitors. That gives you, you can drive over 100 million pixels with that. Wi-Fi 6E support, Bluetooth 5.3, and 4 Thunderbolt 4 ports, 10 gigabit Ethernet. That improved HDMI 2.1 port potentially, 2 USB-A ports, and all the kind of goodies you get with a Mac Studio in a way. But that's not the interesting part. The more interesting part is the Mac Pro, which finally has an Apple Silicon chip in the M2 Ultra, and that means you can go from 24-core CPU up to 67-core GPU setup, and you can get twice the memory and SSD storage for, compared to the previous Mac Pro that came out, and that means you get up to 192 gigabytes of you can go up to 192 gigabytes of RAM, over 800 gigabits per second, gigabytes a second of unified memory bandwidth that is with the M2 Ultra. It's blazingly fast. That's what I'm going to say. And apparently, the new Mac Pro, mind you, now gives you the performance of not one Afterburner card, but 7 Afterburner cards built right in with the M2 Ultra chip. So that tells you how bleeding fast it is in terms how blazing fast it is, pretty much. So that's pretty cool. And that means that, like the Mac Studio with M2 Ultra, both with the M2 Ultra can do up to 22 streams of 8K ProRes video. That's pretty fast if you think about it. But you're probably wondering, why should I get a Mac Pro, Maun? I can get the Mac Studio with the M2 Ultra chip, and it's compact and gives me all the performance I need. The one big reason you want to be getting the Mac Pro is PCIe support, and specifically PCIe Gen 4 support, and you get 7 expansion slots, 6 open slots pretty much, and that means you can add all kinds of supported PCIe extension cards, for example. So if you want to add more storage, you can do that. If you want to get dedicated video cards and audio cards for processing and plugging in custom inputs, you can do that too. And also, as I said, you can even plug in capture cards onto this. So that's pretty interesting in a way. And though you won't be needing the Afterburner card, because as I've talked about earlier, the M2 Ultra kind of comes with support of roughly 7 Ultra Burner cards, so that performance is definitely built right in. So that's pretty cool in a way. You get 8 built-in Thunderbolt 4 ports, 2 on the top of the Mac Pro on the front, and 6 at the back of the device, and that means you can support 6 Pro Display XDR monitors with Wi-Fi 6E and Bluetooth 5.3 support, like the M2 Ultra chip on the Mac Studio similarly. But also the Mac Pro gives you access to 3 USB-A ports, 2 high-res, high-bandwidth HDMI ports that can give you 8K support out of the gate with 240Hz frame rates, and also 2 10 gig Ethernet ports and a headphone jack. So pretty impressive Macs, pretty much the Mac Studio and the Mac Pro, really blowing it out of the water, let's just say that. So you're probably wondering about the price of these devices. The Mac Studio with the M2 Ultra Max will start at $2,000 and $1,099 roughly before taxes and stuff like that, and the M2 Ultra will be, and the Ultra variant will basically be, I think, probably $500 extra, so it'll be around $2,000 to $3,000 for that. The Mac Pro Taro configuration pretty much will start at $6,999 roughly, whereas the rack configured Mac Pro, you can get that for $7,499. So pretty impressive in a way, and will be available from next week, so that's exciting. So if you want some power, it'll be coming fairly soon. But if you ask me, I'd get the Mac Studio with the M2 Ultra, unless I'm the kind of person who wants to use custom expansion cards or PCIe cards to get more storage and custom inputs. That's where the Mac Pro comes in handy. But the Studio already is impressive on its own with the previously with the M1 Ultras. It's getting a whole lot better with the M2, so that's pretty exciting in a way. But now you've kind of heard of all the typical hardware and software announcements at WWDC, your new Macs, your new versions of iOS and iPadOS and so on and so forth. But this one absolutely took the cake. This is the one I looked forward to. I was looking forward to this for a very, very long time. The Apple Vision Pro, the first mixed reality headset from Apple, a whole new category that they've jumped into. Pretty impressive, and I've kind of got lost for words, like couldn't really, magical, truly what Apple stands for, magical technology, and just hardware, software, and services working together, and you really jump in into a world of experiences with the Apple Vision Pro. It's a pretty impressive device, and tell all you want about, oh, it's slow and this and that, but you gotta give credit where it's due. They really pulled off and created a truly magical device that is. So the Apple Vision Pro is a mixed reality headset. It pretty much is a VR headset, but it has an AR capability and interface. So you can see the world in front of you through dual camera setup on the outside, pretty much. And speaking of which, the Apple Vision Pro comes with a whole bevy of sensors on the outside of the headset, pretty much. And speaking of that, the Apple Vision Pro offers 12 cameras on the outside, 5 sensors, 6 microphones throughout, and again, and that's thanks to the M2 plus R1 chip design, dual chip on the inside. The M2 powers all the computing and experiences, and sort of the powers all the apps and functionality that you get on the Vision Pro. The R1 chip is like a co-processor, and that processes all the sensors and the camera pass through, and that means you get an AR experience pretty much. And this means it streams new images straight to the displays within 12 milliseconds. The pass-through is roughly around within 12 milliseconds, apparently 8 times faster than blink of an eye, so you won't be getting stutters or motion sickness from using this. And speaking of which, if you plug this in, you can use it all day long. But using the separate battery that should come with the headset, hopefully, you get 2 hours of battery life generally, but that's because it's powering such a high-res display, so I'm not surprised. And speaking of displays, the Vision Pro comes with dual micro OLED displays, which combine 23 million pixels into 2 displays, and each are like the size of a stamp, and feature a white color gamut and high dynamic range, giving it this kind of crisp and vivid, as if it's real life. And also, in terms of the display, they've like packed an iPhone pixel, they've shrunk the display so much that it's quite lifelike, and you get a less than 8K resolution, but pretty much when combined, you get a 4K image in front of you, and that's how high res it is. So you can get full native 4K resolution right on a display. So that's pretty interesting in a way. And also there's an advanced spatial audio system that's going to be on the Vision Pro, speaking of which, with two individual drivers that will sort of be placed right on the head, and sort of, you know, it amplifies, sending audio straight to your ears in a way. So that's pretty interesting. And speaking of which, on top of all of that, there's the high performance eye tracking on the inside of the headset, and that detects light patterns on the eyes, and that helps with inputting with your eyes and your hands. And speaking of which, the design is pretty cool with the Apple Vision Pro. You have this sleek, iconic design now. Now it's kind of way too iconic for close comfort. You have this design, sort of you have this main frame body that sort of wraps around in glass and aluminium, and sort of this headband that again cushions a nice and gentle head. But also there's a light seal sort of cushion that again goes on your eyes and sort of shuts out light and glare from the headset. So that's pretty cool in a way. And the headband's pretty interesting. It's knitted three-dimensionally as a single piece, again giving you cushioning and breathability, so that's kind of important. And you can again adjust it with a simple mechanism as it is. And light seal, of course, made of a soft textile, so that's pretty cool in a way, and builds on Apple's innovation experience building products like the Mac and the iPhone, and all that design experience is coming in clutch now with this headset. So yeah, that's pretty awesome in a way, and truly a game-changing device in the world of mixed reality headsets and apparently spatial computing, as we call it. And speaking of which, you have VisionOS. This is going to be powered by VisionOS, which is building on top of all the innovations that happened in macOS and iOS, and that's pretty impressive in a way. And it's an OS kind of that takes advantage of the fact that you have a spatial experience, and it's designed such where it's in AR mode overwhelmingly, and that means in the real world, you have an interface that sort of sits in the real world, and it's present right in front of you, and you can adjust, and you know, you can see, you can size it up and bring it closer and further away. And also it's power, and if you're wondering about inputs, you don't have any controllers with this. You control it with your eyes, hands, and voice, and you move your hands around. And what I've heard from videos or people's reviews or hands-on videos where they've tried it and are telling experiences, in the hands, kind of, you don't have to have it in front of the display. You sort of have it below it, and it will interface, which is pretty interesting. It's hard to tell, of course, but we see the videos. You essentially use your fingers to sort of tap and select and navigate on the interface. And you have access to incredible experiences from there on out. The Vision Pro will come in an App Store, so you get access to thousands of familiar apps. And iPad apps will work on this from the get-go, including also along with iPhone apps too. So they'll work on this headset, which is pretty cool. But yeah, you'll be able to design an app that takes advantage of this incredible headset from the get-go. So that's pretty cool. We've kind of touched upon the hardware and the operating system pretty much that's powering this and design generally. But let's talk about the experiences you'll be getting. Basically, because you're not looking into it, you're looking through. It's an Apple device that you look through it, according to Tim Cook. It's the first Apple device to do that, pretty much you look through it and not into it. So you'll be able to do lots of interesting things. First of all, you'll be able to run multiple apps at once, and you'll be more productive, and you get infinite screen real estate, and it's truly a game-changing experience. Until you've used it, you won't know how much game-changing it is in a way. But also, you get immersive content experiences. So pretty much with the Vision Pro, you can transform any space into a personal movie theater with a screen that can go all the way up to 100 feet wide. And with spatial audio, you really feel that you're in another world altogether. And you can watch movies or TV shows, or even three-dimensional movies with that capability, 3D movies pretty much, and you get an immersion feel and look. And you won't get motion sickness from it, of course, so that's pretty interesting. And you can play over 100 Apple Arcade games at launch because you have access to a large display and immersive audio, so that's pretty impressive in a way. And with environments, you can essentially switch over to essentially a VR world. And that means that you don't have to look at the cluttered real world that you're in. You can be in a virtual world and you can be accessing your favorite apps or doing things or browsing or watching content in a way, and you can essentially escape the real world with a simple simple twist of the digital crown on top of the headset. That's pretty cool in a way. And speaking of which, this headset will be coming with Apple's first 3D camera, and that means you can take memories and photos and videos with incredible detail and depth, and you can even go back and view them in a way on the headset itself and go back in time. It's one of those like party tricks and useful features, but it's not going to do anything significant, but it's nice to have, let's just say that. And also, if you've ever taken panorama shots on your iPhone, those sort of shots that go 180 degrees or 360 degrees, you can now view them on the headset in full 360 degree detail, like completely in VR, as if you're there and feel like you've gone there. And that's pretty impressive, and it almost feels like you're in the scene when you're not, but you're in the scene. So pretty impressive if you think about it. And that's one of the many useful features and experiences you'll be getting on it. Another one is you'll have access to spatial FaceTime calls. And speaking of which, you also create a persona of your own, a digital representation of yourself using those sensors and all. And that means that when you're talking to others on a FaceTime call, you'll be kind of be seen as like a digital avatar on the other end, on the other user's end. But it's pretty cool, and you can see those users you're talking to in a life-size window. So that's pretty interesting in a way. And with spatial audio, you'll know where they really are on the call, like to the very right of you. You'll hear them on the very right. Pretty impressive stuff if you think about it. And you get access to a whole bunch of immersive experiences, and it really will change the way you do and experience things. And also, you have eyesight. So the thing with VR headsets and mixed reality headsets is that you sort of get sucked into it, and you don't know people in front of you and all that kind of stuff. And so there's the eyesight mode, which means that and feature, which means when you're running, when you're using the headset, it's going to be transparent, so you'll see on the outside when someone walks by you, they'll see your eyes, essentially a representation of that you've set up. And then when you're using in your environment or using an app, it'll then run visual cues, so it'll be running over your eyes, sort of, to show that you're busy doing something. But then when they come close to you, you can talk to them, of course, because then they will come into your view instead of hinder in the middle. It's very complicated to explain in words and through the power of podcast, but what I'm trying to say is that you won't be all isolated and out of the world with this headset. You will basically be able to still interact with people and not be isolated. So that's pretty interesting in a way. So yeah, pretty impressive headset if you look at it. Also, you're probably wondering about security and access and stuff like that. There's also going to be Optic ID, which is kind of like Face ID and Touch ID, which again, is a authentication system, so it uses your iris pretty much in different using the LED light sensors that are on the headset, and then compares it with the enrolled data, and you know, lets you unlock and access information, and sort of lets you log in to stuff with the headset. So yeah, the Apple Vision Pro, it's an interesting product, a new category for Apple. They've never done this before. I mean, it's their first mixed reality headset in a way. It costs $3,499. It's a substantial amount of money, but the name itself, the Vision Pro, it clearly tells you who they're going after. Enthusiasts, those who already love VR headsets and are dabbling a bit into AR, and those who just love to have immersive experiences, and for professionals and developers who want to either create immersive worlds of experiences or just be in them. And it's not for the masses yet, and the price really reflects it and what they're going for with this first iteration. But hopefully the third or fourth or fifth version of this Vision headset, as we call it from now on, here on out, it'll basically be for the masses eventually. That time will come fairly soon. But until then, it's an impressive headset. Like, it's truly groundbreaking. And it'll be available early next year, so we have plenty of time to kind of think through it. But yeah, this headset will be available apparently by early next year in the US, so it'll be pretty interesting to see how this fares. But yeah, given past product category launches, it's gonna be a bit of a hit or miss potentially. So, but still, a pretty impressive piece of hardware nonetheless. But if you ask me about my top five sort of bits from the keynote, on the top will definitely be the Vision Pro headsets. Absolutely impressive what you're getting here, truly groundbreaking. And then you have the M2 Ultra, Mac Studio, and Mac Pro as it is combined. And then below that really is iOS 17, and then iPadOS 17 at number 4, and then lastly is macOS Sonoma. It's already perfect, but you know, I mean, it's fine. And then everything else is kind of like underwhelming and all right, no big deal in a way. But it's pretty, yeah, but pretty cool stuff from the folks in Cupertino. That is not bad, huh? For a keynote event, interestingly enough. But yeah, if you're probably, and also interestingly, with all the software that's coming out, there's also going to be betas. And fun fact, if you are a developer, you can log in and download the developer betas for all these versions of for all the upcoming versions of Apple software, including iOS 17 and macOS Sonoma. So you can go out and download it now from Apple's developer site if you're interested. So that's pretty interesting. But as I said, it'll be available later in the fall for everyone else. So yeah, pretty cool as it is. But yeah, what do you think of everything you've heard so far? The Vision Pro headset, the new versions of iOS and stuff like that, everything in between, let me know. I'm on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Sayid_Mao99. Follow me there if you can. Leave a comment on one of my posts. Send me a message. I'll be happy to talk with you, and so much more. Subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening right now. Don't forget to share this to your friends and family. It took me forever to make this, so definitely appreciate all your support. And yeah, till next week. This is your boy Mao signing out. Where we are, what are we up to? Thank you so much for listening, and have an awesome day and week ahead. All right. Thank you for listening. Ciao.